all gathered here for something which we have been seeking all to life, for which we have done various religions. And what is that? That is to know God. So this is a question that can be only solved in the man body that we have got. For man is the highest in all creation, and the highest aim before us is to know God. And for that very purpose we have joined various religions. The question arises whether there is a God. And the scriptures have replied to that, that there is a God. If we have to come in contact with that, how to do and where to go. Last time when I came here in 1955, some scientists met me. Scientists generally believe there is no higher power except this matter. So I asked him if they could create an ounce of consciousness. They said no. You have been able to create atom power. You have been able to create electronic things. But with all that, we have not been able to create an ounce of consciousness. If 100 fools are taken together, can you make it wise then? No. So in all things, cannot make us, give us consciousness. And further I went to ask him, have you analyzed matter? He said, yes, matter is composed of elements, and elements are composed of atoms. So then I asked him whether you have analyzed atom. He said, yes. Then I asked him, what did you find there is? He said, there's a movement going on in the atom. Then on being asked whether that was haphazard or well controlled, he said, very much controlled and very much rhythmic. Then they asked him, what is it that keeps that movement in the atom too very much controlled? There is some controlling power. Don't you see to your own self? This is man body has got so many apertures, two eyes, two nostrils, two ears, mouth, etc. Why can't we run away out of it? We cannot. Breathing goes out. Why cannot remain outside? There's something controlling it back into the body. That controlling power we have to know, and that is called by the name of God. We reside in this man body. Also that controlling power is also residing in this very man body, keeping us in the body. So we find in scriptures two kind of statements. One, know when you have seen God at any time. And also we find statements of masters, they say they have seen God. Both statements are true as they are given from different levels. the first statement that nobody has seen God at any time is given from the level of the absolute God, the wordless state of God which did not come into being as yet. And the other statement we find, Christ was asked whether there is a God, and he told, "Behold the Lord." No reasoning. Why? Because those who see, they can make others see. They see, no reasoning required. Reasoning required only when we do not see. You can make others stand by bringing them by intellectual inferences. Only that is required. Otherwise, they see, they say, there is God. This very question, you see, was asked of Guru Nanak, and he also said, "I see God everywhere. There is no place where God is not." Kabir was asked, he says, "I have seen him in every atom." Others say, "They have seen him all pervading." Swami Vivekananda, who came to America too, he was an atheist before. He was challenging one and all, if there is anybody who has seen God. He was led to Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa. He went around to him, "You see, masters don't act in pose. They simply live in their simple way of life." He had a cloth around his lions, wearing a shirt, bare-headed, he was walking. As I said, this one who has seen God. And he went to him and put him the blunt question, "Master, have you seen God?" Then he looked at him, told him, "Yes, my child, I see him just as I see you, and more clearly than that." That shows there is something to be seen as given out by so many masters. He is the control power of all. He is the maker of all universe. He is unchangeable, permanence, eternal. And we are of the same essence of that of God. We are also eternal. We are spirit in man. For there is a God, this is what the scriptures say. And the question arises, with what eyes we can see him? And Guru Nanak replies, those eyes are different other than these eyes of flesh and bones with which you can see God. That eye is called the third eye, or the single eye in the Bible, in fact. Lord Krishna puts it as the latent eye. Kabir puts it as the Shiv Netra. All come to the same thing. So there is an eye which is not a flesh and bone with which you can see God. When that eye is open, that eye is within everybody, whether he has got eyes on his face or not. Even the blind men have got that eye within, but all such eyes are sealed, as our scripture says. Unless those seals are broken, we cannot see God. So that eye can be opened by somebody whose eye is open. So all masters are trained like that. So Mr. Gray, the Mohammedan saint, tells us we must be able to see God with our own eyes. We must be able to hear the voice of God through our own ears. And how that eye opens, he says, close your eyes, you see darkness. He says, just look into the darkness lying just in front of you between the two eyebrows. Look penetratingly into it, and your eye will open. This is what you guys have in your scriptures, in the Bible too. Eye is the light of the body. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. I am quoting these things from the scriptures only to show this subject has been no new one today, but this subject was there even when the world began. All masters who came from time to time, they had experienced that God, which even now can do today, if and when our inner eye is open. So we can see God. There is a God. First, we have joined various religions only to have that experience of God. We read scriptures only to have those very experiences what the masters had in their lives with God. They say God is light. Yahweh says, thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Have you been able to see the light? The purpose of joining any religion is to find a way back to God, to find a missing link within us. And that is the controlling power, as I told you, keeping us in the body and keeping all universe under control. So now by going through these quotations of the scriptures, there appears to be some hope. There is a garden that can be seen. So whenever masters come, their main mission work before them is to just first to unite the children of God all together and give them a contact with God. Give them a way back to their homes. This world is not our home. This is temporary, not lasting. So whenever masters come, what do they say? They look to us from the angle of the man body. God has given equal privileges to everybody. From the same way, the outer construction, the same, inner construction of the body the same. Nobody has got any privilege, special privilege, other than these. So God has made men all alike with equal privileges. There's no higher law. So God wants every child to come up to Him. But our souls are under the control of mind, and mind is under the control of the outer faculties. We are just engrossed in the outer pleasure so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. Unless we come out of this delusion, we cannot find Him. So this question has been ever since the world began, and we are also laboring under the same. We are trying. Some are simply feeling God is everywhere. That's your own make. Sometimes out of these feelings we rise into emotions. We dance in ecstasy. But still that is a result of your feeling. Some just try to draw inferences to come to some conclusion that there must be something to know. Well, that is not seeing God anyhow. I met one sadhu, you see, in India. He was a very old man, about 90 years old. He came up to me and inquired of me, "Is there a God?" Then I told, ask him, "When have you become this lucky world and you have been after this?" He said, "Quiet from me, child." Then I asked, "To what conclusion you have arrived?" He said, "Truly speaking, some are very frank. Mind that if you don't deceive your own self, God helps you. We deceive our own self by simply acting and posing. By saying perhaps we know so much intellectual art, we can say the inference is like this." He said, "Truly speaking, I have no experience of God." You are right. Can we, any of us sitting here, can say that we have experience of God? I don't think even the ministers who are running all these running schools of thoughts, they can say. If they can say, they must be able to give others some experience. The blind leads the blind, both fall into the ditch. Therefore, why Master Christ said, "Beware of the false prophets, they come as lambs and they are ravening wolves." The majority, almost all majority of you will class them under these feelings, emotions and inferences, are simply observing certain outer rites and rituals which are meant for preparation of the ground and develop love and devotion for God, or reading of scriptures. By reading of scriptures we develop in us an interest to know God. By reading such and such master saw God. What did they see? They said God is light. All masters in their own language. The initial said God is Jyoti. Muslims say God is Noor. Well, that means the same thing. Zoroaster said it is a unstuck fire. As Pythagoras says, it is a truth clothed in light. Are they not child of thoughts? So they saw some, had some experience, and all said the same experience in their own language, of course, which were prevalent at the time when they came. So by these statements, there appears to be some hope that we, as they had that experience, we can also have the same experience with us in our own lives. So this question was put to the Master from time to time. Generally I do find that the followers of almost all religions, they pray God, not for God, mind that, but for having the worldly things. Majority of them. Blessed are they who pray God to know God. the simple prayer, "Oh God, my child is sickness, that he may be recovered. My circumstances are not good, they should be no better. Such and such difficulty, I mean that prayer is set aside," and that's all. Truly speaking, are we the worshippers of God? We are worshippers of the world, of the mammon. Because we can get these things from God, ask and it shall be given unto you, that is why we pray God. So those, I think, blessed are they who pray God, who read scriptures, who perform different rites and rituals, who say prayers for the purpose of knowing God. So this question, which has arisen in any man's life, I think that day is the greatest day in man's life, because this question cannot be stamped out, my friend. It may be buried for a while when you are engaged in other pursuits, but again and again this will raise his head. What is all this? Is there a God? Is there any controlling power of all this what goes on? So wherever this question is, that will find solution someday. When that flares up, this question, then God sees my child is after me. He makes some arrangement to bring in contact with somewhere where he can be put away. So it is said, this question, the Master says, they say themselves, is there any way to God? No one to see God. What is the way? How can we see God? You find in our scriptures, and I just now refer to you, that is a controlling power keeping our souls in the body. When that power is withdrawn, we have to leave the body. That very power is controlling all the universe. When that power is withdrawn from there, dissolution and grand dissolution senses. So with that, God is eyes in our heart, how can we know Him? That's it. So they tell us, first requirement is first to have desire, to have an hunger, to have a thirst for God. That may be as a result of our reactions of the past, even from childhood. All by passing through the various vicissitudes of life. All by passing through the various vicissitudes of life, man sees he is not satisfied what all he has seen, not he has seen. He simply wants to know, is there any heaven, any refuge, where we can find safe. Even Lord Buddha, who is considered to be an atheist, he was not an atheist, you see. He was a believer in God. This question arose in the second conference of the World Fellowship of Religions, which was held in Calcutta in 1950. About 250 delegates attended that conference, and when the resolution was to be passed, of course, that carried the name of God, you see. The one part of the Buddhists said, we don't believe in God, so the resolution should not have the word God in it. Now when even one reason does not agree, the resolution cannot be the resolution of all religions. So I just met the head of that Buddhist order. I told him, do you follow the teachings of Buddha? this area. Then I quoted them from the scriptures. What are they? Ourselves can find refuge in another self. You see? Until we have control on our own self, we cannot find refuge in the other self. But it is hard to gain. What does that mean? Our self has to find refuge in another self that must be our self and the higher self. And that higher self is called God. So then the revelation will pass. I mean to say that all masters are given in a way. Of course, Lord Buddha did not like to go into discussions with those people. Lots of people came up to him. He said, there's no God. All right, you believe that way. Do you believe that love is good? To be just is good? To be truthful is good? Not to harm anybody is good? Yes, all right, you follow that. Those who believe in God, they turn up to him. He says, there is a God. And yes, there is a God, then God is our love, we should love all. God is our just, all truth. You follow? So how he evaded any unnecessary discussions with those people who were not up to the mark. But really, they all believe in an existence which is termed by so many words. The first question is found, I think, at least intellectually, that there is a God. And second, there are testimonies to show that we can see God too. Then why can't we see? So this question arises, what is needed for that? And I told you, the first of all, you must have hunger for that. One man came up to a master. He said, I want to see God. All right. Next morning they went to this river, which had flowed by it for taking a bath. Master and the new man both were taking dip in the water. As soon as the other man who came, he had a dip under the water, he caught hold of his neck and let him in under the water for 2 or 3 minutes. And he was very much, I mean, upset. When he left him, he took a long breathing. Why are you so uneasy? I wanted to have a breath. Well, as you have got now, you are just after having breath. Similarly, if you got a hunger for God, you are welcome. Truly speaking, most of us, we take up this question as a mere curiosity. The result is, first of all, such like people do not meet us who know God and can let us know God, who are competent to give us experience that way. They follow a few days and they again led away into the pleasures of the senses as they used to be. When those who are really hunger after God have got, there is a God and you can definitely have an experience of God. Who can give you? Further question arises. God has no equal. No father, no mother. Then, who can give an experience of God, maybe contact with him? You have to say, God alone himself gives that experience. Now, is there any hope other than that? Yes, there is hope. You see in scriptures that God resides in every heart. No heart is without him, because that is the controlling power keeping us in the body. If that is withdrawn, we have to leave the body. We are no more in the body. So that God power is in us, equal to us. Where that God power has become manifest, that manifested God in some human soul is competent to liberate your soul from the bondage of this mind and outgoing faculties and give you contact with Himself. Such a person is called a master. He is to all intents and purposes the same as you are. He is truly a man, I would say. Great is man. Man is one who is next to God, who is the mouthpiece of God, who sees God as I see you and you see me, who has become the conscious co-worker of the divine plan. He alone is, I think, qualified to be called as a man. And what we are, excuse me, we are beasts in man. Animals are sometimes better than man himself. They rear up their children and we rear up our children. They just fight with others to save their children and we fight like that. They feel hungry, we feel hungry. They feel pain and what? Weal and woe, and we also. In what way we are sweeter? The only sweetness lies in man if he knows God. And he alone is what we are being called about. Man. Such a son of man is blessed, in whom that God is manifest. The manifested God in him can manifest God in others. How our souls are under the control of mind, mind is under the control of the outgoing faculties. We are identified with the outside things so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. We are just buried under the weight of mind and outgoing faculties. That God manifested God in some human form with the little part of him he can raise our souls up the senses, withdraw from our attention to the expression of soul from outside and raise the soul from the depths of the mind and outgoing faculties and open an inner eye to see the light of God. This is the definition given of a master. To tell you how to carry the badges of the different schools of thought, that anybody can do it. To tell you how to read scriptures, that also. How to say prayers, how to perform certain rites of ritual, that anybody can do it with little training. Of course, those things are required for preparation of the ground. We do justice to all, but that is not seeing. Unless you rise above body consciousness and liberate yourself from the bondage of mind, now go faculties, know yourself, then you see that controlling power that is keeping you in the body. I am giving you a very common sense talk, you see. We are not to draw any inferences. So that such a soul who has attained that thing has become the mouthpiece of God, he can work wonders. Even in our souls, we have great power. Some praise of the sun don't burn us. But other part to a convex lens, anything we put on the other way, that will be perplex. Similarly, if over self or over soul or God could create all the universes with little thought of His, we are of the same essence as that of God. We are a drop of the ocean of our consciousness. We have great power in us. But pity it is that our soul, the expression of which is called attention, that is diffused in the world. If those are withdrawn, concentrated at the seat of the soul in the body, you can work with us. You can do that, as Master used to say, you can stop a running train. But if that soul becomes a mouthpiece of the old soul of God, what can he not do then? He can do everything. So, first requirement is to have hunger for God, a thirst for God. That shifts your heart. If you want to have God, you will have, must have God, you see. The man who has got the bad body is got the birthright to see God. And the purpose of joining any religion is only that. We have done various schools of thought just to know God. But what do you do? Unfortunately, these were our recruiting centers from which we had to join the army of God. Unfortunately, we forget this goal. We simply become worshippers not of God but of the religions of the school of thought to which we belong. The result is what? Fight between class and class. Religion and religion. There have been religious wars in which thousands of people were killed. So Master said that the purpose of judging your various schools for thought is only to know God, why have you been misled? This is means to the end. This is not the goal to belong to anyone's religion. This is way back to find a way back to God and to have a contact with God. So these are the means which these religions or schools of thought were made for us. We were not made for the religion, my friends. We had to make the best use of them. Don't you remember Christ healed somebody on the Sabbath day? And though we were just stuck fast to the outer bounds of the religion, he said, look here, why have you healed man on the Sabbath day? That is the day of rest of God. And what did he say? Sabbath day was made for man. Man was not made for Sabbath. I don't mean to say all these things to just to take away you from any religion, but simply to understand what is the purpose of joining any religion. We have thought perhaps if we take only one form, or say prayers only in one way, or just perform rites and rituals as prescribed by one particular religion, those who do it, they will have salvation. Of course, they have got their values. To join, to remain, some religion is a blessing. But to remain in some religion and stuck fast with the, what you say, the four laws of the religions, and just in our own senses, considering that we are God the only truth and nobody else, and killing thousands of people taken on that war, taken on that plague, do you think it is the right way? I believe in the same God, and you believe in the same God. And all scriptures tell us, love God and love all humanity. When He delights in every humanity, in any man, in all creation, is there a virtue to kill those bodies? Is it a love, I say I love you and I kill your children? That is why Christ said, you cannot love your brother whom you see. How can you love God whom you have not seen? So when masters come to see, they tell you to remain in some religion is a blessing, but we must rise above this body consciousness and have a contact with God. True religion starts when you rise above this mind body. Outer religions have to do only with the mind body. Saying prayers, reading scriptures, performing rites and rituals. That's right. That is for purpose of the ground, good actions. But seeing is something else. We knew that the soul, we have to make the best use of them. Whatever step we have taken, that is all right. We should now take a further step to just achieve the object for which we have bought this man's body, and also for which purpose we have joined various schools of thought. Religion truly means serene is back. Religion comes from ligare, to bind. To bind back our souls to God is what is called truly. Their social bodies are the to remain there is blessing. If you don't remain there, you will have to raise another religious. Another man is social. He must have some social body to live in. So, it did not matter by changing only forms and rituals, unless you rise above body consciousness and to know the very God which is already contained in the body. That is the step to be taken. And that is what comes. So this is the aim of our joining any schools of thought. So that masters come, and what do they say? They see us on the level of the man body that we are carrying, or further from the level of the embodied soul we are. As I told you, all men are alike, the same privilege from God. As a man, as an embodied soul, we are also spirit in man, eternal in nature. We are the children of God, truly speaking. We are the children of light. We are brothers and sisters in God. So whenever masters come, the first work is just to bring all children of God together. Even if you are bearing the guidance of different religions, all the same we are units of men, sinners. So whenever to come to some master, the first lesson that we have is to consider all men alike. To have love for all, and love those service and sacrifice. We are worshippers of the same God called by different names. We are all in one. Unity already exists. As a man, as the outer privileges, as the inner privileges, what we have, the same from God. And also, the same controlling power within each one of us. The only thing now remains what to do. Though we have known God, we have to sit at their feet. They see, but they can't make us see. Son knows the Father, and others whom the Son reveals. That is this already, but is not revealed. We have to simply for that purpose, we have to invert, rise above body consciousness, rise above senses. Moral alone, the great Mohammedan saint tells us, unless you rise above senses, you cannot see the mystery of life solved. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That is what is meant by kingdom of God cannot be held by observation. Observation means by the outside things. Anything that you have to do with your observing faculties. They may be made the best use of for preparation of the ground. But it cannot be had by observation. There are two ways. One is the way of the outer way, which appears to be very, I mean, beautiful. That is called the cinematic. We see, we are just bound by the beauty and the symphonies and the music outside, but there is another way too. That is called the Shavai Marek. The Southern Marek makes it without light, without open eyes. And the Shavai Marek is the way back to God. That is what has been referred to in the scriptures. Enter ye of the straight gate. Far wide is the way, gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The same thing I gave you from the other scriptures, so I am quoting you from the Bible, the same thing. That is given in English, that is given in English. So we have to find the Shavai Marek which stars in darkness. When you close your eyes, that stars from the tenth door in the body. Nine are outer, very apparent, two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, mouth, and then the genital organ. And the tenth is back the eyes. That goes in darkness. When that way opens, that opens and opens and opens. There are planes and planes and planes within you. There are so many mentions in the house of our Father. And the outer, as more you expand, there is no way out. You are stuck fast within the pain of the outer faculties. So you cannot transcend it. You cannot come to the source where from these outgoing faculties take their strength. And that you are. And you are enlivened, you see. You become alive when your soul, when withdrawn from outside, comes in contact with that. You are enlivened forevermore. The masters give a definition of a living man. Who is a living man? He says, Guru Nanak says, only he is alive, O Nanak, who is the mouthpiece of thee. So in whom that power, God's power is manifest, in his soul is, what you say, electrified, you might say, now living furthermore, our conscious entity and become more conscious by coming in contact with the all consciousness, such a man only is alive all other subjects. But these experiences we have done in the very school of thought. Blessed are we if you could find out that. And the Guru Nanak refers, O blind man, you arise and see not. Don't you see that way which leads from the physical world into the beyond? These are the things we say, given in our scriptures. We simply read the words of the scriptures and never go into the back of it, what they represent. Kingdom of God cannot be had by observation. You know, see what that means? When you withdraw from outside, ABC starts there. You have to first enter this liberality of a man's body by withdrawing outside. And how we are engrossed in the outside things through the outgoing faculties. So first step that we have to take is to have control over these senses. Guru Arjan puts this in a very beautiful way. They are ready to just bring home the total things with it. He says, I met a master. With his grace, I have now become the queen of this house, the mistress of the house, the lady of the house which is under my control. And the people ask him, what are they? How many sons you have got in this body to help you? He says, 10 sons have been given to me. And what are they? They are the sight working through the eyes. That's the audition, power of audition, working through the ears. That's the power of the smell, working through the nose. That's the power of taste, working through the tongue. And that is the power of touch, working through the skin. These are the 10 servants. Now you see, these play hell with us, I tell you. We see and we are irresistibly drawn by the outer beauty. We are sitting in something and we are irresistibly drawn by very melodious sounds. If you are not very presence comes in, everybody attention is down there. So our soul rather under the control of mind. Mind is under the control of the outer faculties through which the senses work. If we can control these, take the example of the house. There is a mistress there. She has got so many servants, but no servant obeys the Lord. One drags him by the leg, the other drags him by the arm, and so on. What will be the fate of that house? If the mistress is there and the servants obey the others, you call, well, come and please do this. She is rest assured. What we do? We should develop in a way while seeing we made a see. Your open eyes while seeing you made a see. With open ears you made a see. Even by coming close to somebody you made a feel. In putting something very tasteful into your mouth as if you don't feel taste. Such is control, self-discipline is required. Because you see, through through these outgoing faculties, our attention will be drawn outside, the outside things. All the time we are receiving impressions from outside, and mostly through the eyes. About 80% of the impressions that we have from the outside is through the eyes. Ever since the child is born, he begins to see outside, receiving impressions. Those impressions which he receives, about 80%, though just to fill in, and the subconscious reservoir of the mind becomes overflowing. Similarly, they receive impressions from the outside through the ears. They count it about 14%. Those impressions are also flowing within us. Another 6% remaining are received through the other organ of sense. So the result is we are leading a sort of superficial life. We never tap inside to see what is what, who we are, what we are. Emerson therefore says, tap inside. Invite, withdraw from outside, rise from body consciousness, all mean the same thing. There are ways to raise and ways to explain the things. So first thing is, if you got all your sons quite obedient, then your house will be set in order, isn't it? Even you enter the house which is well set, even at night when there is no light, you know what is there. If the darkness and the everything is in a topsy-turvy state of things, some of the tables are lying, some of the chairs are upturned, some of the cot is there, some of the something else is there. But some of maybe some scorpions and the snakes, they have to see in the dark room. So I mean to say, this is only an example to show how this house of bad body should be set in order. Complete control. You may see while seeing not see. Confident. You know what you stand to be without any faculties? Have you ever considered it? You must have experienced in your life when you are sitting in some, involved in some thought, somebody calls you, your ears are open but you don't hear. Why? Unless attention, which is the expression of the soul, is with the sense organ, you get the sense organ can at work. Similarly, sometimes you are sitting in a very dull state of when somebody passes you, you don't recognize who came or who passed by. What is this? How this eyes get to see that is your own attention. Newton was sitting by a roadside, solving certain problems of life, mathematics problems. He was so much absorbed in that thought. Our pathway don't matter, let me know you see. And Baron passed by him while playing. Somebody came up later on to him and told him, asked him whether any Baron had passed by that way. He said, I don't know. He said right. Others say he's a liar. Isn't it? So you see, our own attention, which is the expression of our soul, unless that is working along with the sense organs, we cannot see, we cannot hear, we cannot taste, we cannot touch, we cannot smell. So there are ways and ways. You can have control over these things only when you have control over your own attention. But you'll find, by we are led away by the outgoing faculties, our attention has been so much, what to say, engrossed in outside things that it has become a habit. And the habit is turned into nature. When you do a thing for a day, 10 days, a month, 2 months, 3 months, regularly, that your habit is formed. And when Sudha says, tells us, he says, my feet go this way, but my mind goes the other way. There it is attached. So this is how we can set our house in order. And further thing comes, you see, this is the first thing to do, those who are given up to the sensuous way of living outside. You cannot compare a saint with an average man. A man living who has that power, you see, awkward power, he lives among the snakes, and he is not affected by the spiding of the snakes. God will love for all, they don't attack him, you see. He has attention under control. While living in the water, yet he's out of it. He's in the world, appears to be eating, drinking, doing one job or the other, loving his children, loving his friends. But all the same, his attention is under control and tuned with the life of God. While being not affected, he has no pinching effect from the outside things. And the average man, whenever you go here today, they invite you. There's a vast difference between a person, a son of man, who has controlled his attention from the outgoing faculties, and is the mouthpiece of God, to all intents and purposes, he is the same, he appears to be talking. He appears to be eating, but he is well controlled, well balanced. He is not attracted away, led away, or deluded away. God is fully conscious of his own self and conscious of the power behind him, the Father in him. This is the first step that we have to take. Those who are given up to the enjoyment of the outside things, they cannot do that. And where, without this attention, within this laboratory of the man body, this man body is the temple of God, in which we live, and the power that controls us in the body, that is God also. We also not sufficient, we are reviving of our senses. And this reviving of our senses is what is called withdrawing your attention from outside and from the body, rising of our body consciousness, learning to die so that you may begin to live. So that you may begin to live to have our lawful life. So this is the first step that we have to take. Irrespective whether you belong to one religion or the other, there is no need of changing any religion. We have to see God and we have to live from social body. But after all, we have to rise and body consciousness. So with the grace of the Master, this you can learn. How to withdraw your attention. If you just start to see outside, you begin to see inside. As I gave this morning meditation about. So these are the practical things. Refer to scriptures, but not understandable until you come to the feet of somebody who knows the best, who has the experience. And is competent to give you the experience. And you will testify there is something. I say this will give Kavipena, at night we will go further into it. You see? This is first step. This step starts first. So we dive from outside and starting right in the water course. Remain as you are. Your bliss close will remain, this form will remain, but you rise up. And what is your religion? You see, the same religion as that of God. So whatever we know, the master comes, they say, everybody has suggest that come out of the same light of God. There's no high and low. This is the first lesson we learn at the feet of the master. You see all the light. He does not only give theory, he also enables us to see things, you see. That light of God which is within you. Your eye open to see inside and outside openly. So we'll tonight take up further, how to go further. Because we have to know God, we have not known God so far. But that's the way.